We're live, pal. Garrett and Andrew here. And Andrew, I guess we got to get right into it because last week at this time, you were saying that AEW is going to announce CM Punk in the very near future. You didn't have a date. And then when we got off of air, it seems like all hell broke loose. What's going on with this situation?
I did have a date.
You didn't specify on this show though, did you?
I didn't say Wednesday, no, but because right before we started doing the show, if you guys, you know what we need like a replay button, like previously on We're Live Pal, like John could hit that button. I think at some point in the show I was like, oh, somebody's messaging me, when you're off your radio show, call me.
Yeah.
And I guess they didn't want to. I mean, it would have been great if they had told me while we were doing the show, but I guess they didn't want to ruin the show. But it was while we were doing the show, or right at the end of the show, I was informed that this deal, something's going on here. So even before that, I didn't want to say like Wednesday, but it was going to be Wednesday. I mean, there was no doubt about it because I saw that press release.
Right. And so there was some clues as to something going on in that CM Punk was taken off of the press materials, except for, I guess, one email, right? Is that right?
Yeah, by mistake. One message, I guess, wasn't, you know, they didn't redact his name out of it.
And so everything we've heard is that this has to do with the Ace Steel situation. Is there anything else to this other than the Ace Steel situation in your view?
I will say this. If we're going based on like a real conversation I've had with somebody, like face to face and like in an official, it's not an official statement, but like as someone, you know, being face to face and being told this, I was never told once that there was a problem with Ace Steel coming from anybody, you know, in, I'm sure people at Warner are not aware, some people in AEW are not aware. But multiple people on Wednesday that I spoke to, nobody actually had said, oh, yeah, it's 100%. That's what I was told in an official manner. I believe it. It could be a possibility. CM Punk's response on Thursday made me think maybe that's not one of the reasons. But I find this whole entire thing so bizarre and not good. It's not positive. I wouldn't say this is a positive when you're trying to build a relationship with Warner in a contract year. Not that it may or may not impact their decision making. I don't know. I think Punk coming back does add some sort of value to your show and to your TV. But I find this whole thing very bizarre. I find it very strange that it's coming out the way it's coming out. And take it for what it is. You know, whether or not, you know, AEW is trying to downplay this a little bit. Again, to the networks, or this is, you know, some sort of, hey, listen, let's people are on the hook, so let's just keep going until we announce it. I don't know, but the fact that he was in the press releases, images have been made. I mean, there have been leaked images all over the internet of him and Samoa Joe, which I will say is 100% accurate. Those aren't fan fiction. Those aren't fan creations. Those were legitimately made. And now you're at 0 hour and you have to remove them from everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the other side of the story is that Nick Houseman reported that things are okay between Punk and Tony and they're communicating daily. The truth has to be somewhere in the middle. One of it has to be true. Either it's terrible or it's good.
I wasn't laughing at Nick's reporting, by the way. Just that you're hearing, you know, opposite things. So, okay. I on Wrestling Observer Radio on Friday, I said this to Dave, and I actually want to get your opinion on this too. Now, I'm not making light that having Ace Steel back in the locker room, or not in the locker room, or, you know, working at the building could be frustrating for some. I am not understating that. But I basically told Dave, I said, you know, it's kind of weird that this is the thing, this is the line that has been drawn over Ace Steel, because it seems like, at least from where I stand, I'm not as in tune to this as you are. This seems like a smaller thing to, based of all the things that they've had to cater to when it comes to working with CM Punk. He's using his leverage, he's using his star power. this Ace Steel thing seems like, oh, yeah, 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 we'll figure that out. This is easy. Like, let's just go. Let's not worry about this. Why is it, do you think, that this is the thing that has caused the problem? Like, why can't they get over this thing, which seems small, so small in comparison to everything else?
I, if this is a real issue, right? If this is a legitimate issue, because again, nobody in any kind of indirect official way has said to me, oh yeah, that Ace Steel stuff is 100% accurate. Nobody has said that to me. So either I have not done a good job at seeking people and asking the right questions, or people really don't know other than whoever reported this, you know, wherever the original story came from, that's where it came from. If this is an issue, I would say it's one of many small issues that probably built up, because,
yeah,
you know, you're going to throw away millions of dollars and you're going to throw away your ability to rehab whatever perception people have. I'm talking about CM Punk. You're going to throw away your ability to rehab that and further sell the point that maybe you are out of your mind. I don't think that's the case with him. I don't think right. It was like, it was a one, oh, everything was great, and then this Ace Steel thing came. I think it's maybe a series of little issues here and there, and that's caused the problem. But I feel weird speculating this, and, you know, Punk's response last Thursday to Brian, out of all people, you know, like, he attacked Brian. Brian didn't even say anything. that response was strange. Very aggressive, and for what reason? I don't know.
You know? You saw it as aggressive. I saw it as childish. Like, it was like something that I would tell my 13-year-old twins to not do on Instagram. Right? Like, it's like the way and I went over this on the Fight Game podcast with John LaRocque and myself, because, you know, athletes being need to have a relationship with media, because media is kind of the engine. Like, it's a cycle, right? The media covers the sport, gets information out there. Athletes are doing the thing in the ring, but you actually need both for the whole thing to be successful. And my point is that, you know, for Punk to be a professional, what you need to do is, if you are frustrated with reporting or frustrated with how something is covered, you kind of reach out to that person and go, hey dude, like, here's the story. Then it's up to that media person to go, okay, I got it wrong or I didn't get it wrong. The goal is not to create disharmony with the people who are covering your sport, because
unless that is the goal, Garrett, you know?
Okay, but AEW counts on the Twitter to go viral with things, and to, you know, Tony didn't even announce Punk last time. Why did that Punk thing go so crazy? Because Dave and Brian and Sean and others were talking about it. Then people on Twitter were grabbing what people were talking about and tweeting it. And those tweets were getting retweeted. That's how that whole engine worked. So to then kind of snub, you know, that the way that works by doing childish social media posts, it just seems like to me that, you know, it's a move that isn't going to work much longer, because at some point people are just going to go, okay, are you coming back or are you not coming back? Because if you're not coming back, then let's just move on. And I think Punk is at this weird edge of that, in that he's got some leverage. People still care about him, but if he's going to cry wolf again, I think his position lessens. So I think it's really a great opportunity for him to just go, okay, let's get this done. Let's make it work. I'm back. I'm going to show everybody how big of a star I am. Because if he doesn't do it this time, I think that the bloom might maybe off the rose completely.
Yeah, I agree with it. It has to happen now. But here's his side. What are you guys getting worked up about? What the hell did I say? I never even said I was coming back. I never said I'm not coming back. You guys are all speculating, and it's annoying me. And, you know, F everybody that's talking about me. Why is everybody talking about me? Which is, you know, is a very strange response when you're a celebrity.
You know,
the biggest name right now in the business. It's a strange response. Why are you talking about me?
I'm not going to say that he is like this person, but the playbook when it comes to that is Donald Trump is what it is.
Well, any media. By the way, I deal with a lot of these people, right? For my day job, these type of personalities, I deal with it regularly.
I love when you start talking about the day job.
I know, because it's nuts. I have a very different stance on this. My disposition on situations like this is people go into business for themselves outside. And I'm not even using it as a wrestling terminology. You know, the louder you are, the more you deflect, the more people talk. And the entire thing with CM Punk over the last 2 months has been people talking. He showed up in Impact. He showed up in New Japan. He showed up in WWE. This whole thing, you know, it's created a buzz. And, you know, I'm throwing it out here, and I have no personal bias whether or not he should come back or anything with his personal problems. I wasn't there. I'm not going to have an opinion on, you know, was Kenny Omega right or was so-and-so right? However, these guys are, he knows what he's doing. Punk's not a dumb guy. He's very business savvy, and so is Tony. You know, there's an aspect to this where I'm thinking, well, let people talk. You know, the whole concept is let people talk, because here's the reality, right? You're not talking about Hangman Page, right? You're not talking about the Bucks right now. You're not talking about Kenny Omega. You're talking about CM Punk. And he once again has become the biggest name in that company. So for what it's worth, as far as his positioning goes, he once again is the biggest name in that company and top five for wrestling at the moment.
Okay, but
there's no better PR than that.
Let me counter what you just said, right? He's signed to a contract, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what is he angling for exactly if the idea of this show is to give him his own show so that he can come back to work and be a giant star? What else could he possibly angle for in this scenario? Like what's left for him to have that he doesn't currently have? That's my question.
Again, I'm going to go. I'm leaning towards he is coming back. Okay, that is my personal opinion on this.
It's the best for everything if he comes back.
It's not a report. It's not a report whatsoever. Don't post that I'm saying he's 100% come back and this is nonsense, right? But
come on, dude, you're going to return Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg for WrestleMania 39. Come on.
Goldberg's bleeding at home right now. Did you see that? He busted his head on his tractor. So
I did. I saw that.
You know, just I'm going to put it out there, right? And again, I'm not saying this is the case, but it kind of falls into this. People tuned in on Wednesday to Dynamite to see if Tony's announcing it. And he didn't. And he said, tune in next week.
Yeah. So the announcement for the announcement.
Yeah. And what is this week? It's a go home show, right? So your go home show to build your pay-per-view. I'm going to be tuned in. I want to see if they're announcing Chicago or Daly's Place, whatever the case may be. You know, this kind of, I'm not saying this is by design, but like my spidey senses kind of go off and I'm like, well, they're trying to make whatever work. So if this is the plan where everybody's just going to keep quiet until, you know, things have calmed down and things are okay right now and they're just staying quiet until and letting people speculate so more people talk and more people tune in, they're doing business. If Punk is gone, this is a travesty. This is an embarrassing travesty that I will they recover from it? Sure. But will it impact them? 100%. 100%. Okay. Because the perception of this company, those rose colored glasses are gone. Yeah, you're so seeing the cracks.
Let me explain why I mentioned the name of Donald Trump, because
yes.
I don't believe that CM Punk and it is similar in the type of human that Donald Trump is. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is the media strategy of Donald Trump is to take something that he doesn't like that is being reported and say that those people are lying, right? Because he's got his fan base of believers and they can, you know, come together and say, oh yeah, all these people are lying. I feel like that's what's happening here, which is there is information that is out there. And rather than say, oh yeah, some of that is true, maybe some of that is not true, the idea is, nope, it's all fake. It's all these guys creating this story. They don't like me, so thus, you know, don't believe them because I'm, you know, I'm the one with all the fans. And it's just dishonest, which is why I mentioned that, you know, if you have a problem with the reporting, you should talk to the person. And it's up to Dave and Brian and Sean and Nick and Mike Johnson and all these guys. It is up to them to get the truth, right? Like, that's their job, is to find the truth. And so if they do have bad information, then you can clear that up, because it's pretty clear that people are talking. So yeah. I'm not saying that Punk is the one as the source of the information. I don't know that to be true, but I'm saying he has the opportunity to clean up the information if it is not true. So instead of doing that, to then go on the offensive and say all these people are liars, I mean, come on. We've seen this playbook before. It is from dishonest people. And I don't think Punk needs to, I don't think Punk or the Punk camp needs to be doing that, because the right story or the correct story or the whatever is really happening is interesting in of itself. It may shine a negative light on him, but that light is already out there. Like, that light is there. So, you know, you can clear things up. So that was my comparison. But now,
yeah,
let's get to the nitty gritty here. On Wednesday, tomorrow, Tony Khan comes out and he says, this show, the first ever AEW Collision, it is in Chicago. Then we're like, okay, game on. But if it's not, then that means game off, right? That means there's no Punk here. If it is Daily's Place or wherever it's going to happen. Like, this seems like he doesn't even have to say CM Punk or not. It's just where the show's going to be held, which tells the audience what's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? If you were to guess, like right now, 4 o'clock, 4:18 in the afternoon here on the East Coast on Tuesday.
So historically, when it comes to stuff like this, you always say what makes the most sense from a business standpoint, meaning who is going to make money, what's the most money that people are going to make in this scenario. And it seems like CM Punk coming back to AEW TV is where the business picks up, where the business is needed. I think that's where I would lean 60-40. But the worry, and this has been a worry for people from the beginning, is that they weren't sure if CM Punk really, really desperately wanted to come back. Like, maybe he got it all out of his system in that first run, and, you know, this is kind of an out for him. And he doesn't have to be a weekly wrestling star. Because let's talk about something else here. There's a lot of pressure to be the top guy in professional wrestling, or at least in AEW, right? Does he want all of that pressure? Does he have the energy for all of that pressure? I think from an ego standpoint, he probably really enjoys that, knowing that he's still a top dog in this profession. But that's the other part of it, is does he really want this? Does he want that pressure? Does he want to be the top guy in AEW and to have to go on a weekly basis, week to week, you know, in these big events? Like, who knows? Like, that is something that you and I could not explain, and only he can explain. Yeah. So, but that, I can tell you, that was a worry from the second he got hurt until now, which is, was he looking for an out? Was that press conference an out for him? I don't know. It would seem silly that you would use, you know, you come back, you're kind of the dandy of pro wrestling again, and then you just light a fire on it. But, you know, there's, everyone has stuff going on. You don't know what he's going through. So that, you know, I lean 60-40 that it's going to work, but there is a, you know, that 40% is, I didn't say 90-10, you know, there's, yeah, it's closer to 50-50 than I think I would have said this time last week.
Yeah. I this time last week, it was 100%.
Well, actually, until you said you were getting text,
it wasn't.
until you said you were getting text.
Yeah. I find this, you know, it's a little exhausting. It's a little fun. I mean, I'm stating what I'm thinking, you know, just in my mind. Do I want him to come back? Yeah, absolutely. I think he is an asset to any company. It's going to be fun. You know, I very much enjoy his matches. I enjoy his promos. I love the look. I always have. You know what I found? I'm not doing a whole, this is why I'm a CM Punk fan. I put the tickets away. I found a ticket to that ECW show he debuted in. This guy definitely possesses something that many other people, 90% of people that go into wrestling will never possess. So to go back to, does he want to be the guy and does he want to be that leader? Yeah, I think so. I don't think he has another gear to turn it off, because this is a guy that was told from the beginning of his career, he doesn't have the look, he doesn't have the athleticism, nobody's going to buy a guy with tattoos like him, he needs to get bigger. He's not a high spot guy. He's not a grappler. He worked very hard. Even in his documentary, you know, they said he was the worst guy in camp. He wasn't an athlete. I think Colt Cabana, they interviewed Colt, and I think he said it too. Like, Colt was an athlete. Punk wasn't. So he had a lot of adversity, and he had a lot of hurdles to climb. Hurdles to climb? No, you jump over a hurdle. You jump over a hurdle. The guy made it to the top of the business when he was never intended on. So you don't get there just by being, you know, playing politics. I mean, actually, he's terrible at politics because we're in this situation right now. So he got there because he was pushing through and he proved his point with the audience. And I hope to see that again on TV. But, you know, I think a lot of this, it gets muddied. The speculation gets muddied. You know, Nick Houseman did a report with who did he interview? Garrett, my brain just stopped.
You're talking about from
The report today.
You're talking about the Righteous Reg thing.
Yes. Righteous Reg. By the way, Grapsity very much enjoyed the show. You know, he, I don't know who his source is. I don't want to speculate.
I mean, we could guess. Heard it.
I could guess, but I don't want to put it out there, you know, and I'm not saying that that's the case. He could have asked somebody else. And I think it's unfair for me to say it's probably this person. But, you know, everybody hears something different. So it's very possible this is a fact and that Daily's Place is not a venue that they're picking. People that I've spoken to at WBD they were never told that Daily's Place is a backup. As far as the people I speak to, they're just in limbo. And as far, you know, you're this close to it, if you're still in limbo, that means that it's probably happening, or maybe you're just keeping them in the dark. You know, I think you're going to hear all different versions. You're going to hear there's other conversations that happen. It could have been a very possible conversation on Wednesday where it was, well, if Punk's not coming in, we're not going to do Chicago and we'll just do Daly's Place. And that's how the story grew. You know, maybe it was an offhanded comment to somebody. These things get very muddy. I get stuff constantly and I sit on it if I'm not 100% sure. And with this stuff, I am not sure whatsoever beyond what I've reported, because it's gotten so muddy with everybody's opinion now. You know, I've had somebody from AEW reach out to me that I've never heard of that works in the company, and they legitimately work in the company, and everything that they told me was factually inaccurate. So this was a couple months ago. So just because someone works at a venue, at an avenue, and again, I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. I'm just using this as an example. It's just off the top of my head. Just because someone works somewhere and may have heard something, possibly it's not true. So I don't know at this point. And I think, listen, you know, man, we're talking about this 23 minutes, 25 minutes in. It's interesting to people. People are very fascinated by this.
Yeah, I had one of my friends reach out to me and he was like, here's what Brian said. Now, I can't wait what you guys are going to say. And I was like, I from everything I know, it's like there's not much new out there. We're just kind of talking about the same thing. But I think the information is that you know, we're kind of down to the final hours here before they, and look, you know, about this whole backup building thing, you know, Tony is a very smart businessman. He is an excellent promoter. I find Tony Khan, the promoter, to be better than Tony Khan, the booker.
And Tony Khan, the wrestling promoter, is something else.
That you know? That part of his job, creating interest in these events and everything, I think he's excellent at it. I would be surprised if he didn't have a backup building in his head, knowing everything he knows about working with this individual that he's working with. So, you know, booked versus not booked versus an idea versus just a backup idea. Like, who knows exactly what those words are and what the, and you know, what exactly is the thing. But I fully believe Dave saying, you know, that it's, they've looked into the possibility of if they have to change the show, that that's where they would change it to. Like, that makes sense to me. And if you use the logic part of it, it makes sense to me. Now, you know, I've met Righteous Reg twice.
Have you?
Righteous Reg is from the Bay Area.
Oh, nice.
So I think he's from Oakland. I want to say he's from Oakland. But Raw ran San Jose. This was last year. And Will Washington had said that, you know, I should, you know, he's like, Reg is going to be at that show because I tweeted that I was going to the show. And I was like, oh, no way. I've, you know, I knew what he looked like, but I'd never met him before. And we were, I think I can say this now, we were sitting at the ringer seats because my buddy Ben Cruz, he's a producer and a podcast host at The Ringer for Wednesday Worldwide is his show, his wrestling show on The Ringer Wrestling Network. But he had tickets and he's like, hey, do you want to go? And I'm like, you know, I haven't been to a live Raw in forever, but, you know, The Ringer hookup, heck yeah. And so we were like second row, I think, from the ring. And so at some point, you know, this is when we're still kind of, not everyone's wearing a mask, but people are still wearing masks. And so in order to go to the restroom, I went up an aisle. And I see somebody behind a mask who looks like Righteous Reg. And I was like, God, what are the odds that I just go right up the one ramp that he's sitting at?
Could have got you now. Yeah.
And there's a risk, right? If I say, hey, Righteous Reg, this dude just looks at me like quizzically, I feel like an idiot. But...
you know? No, my name is Gary. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Exactly. So I risked it. I was like, God, you know, this is going to be a great story. I could tell Will if this is it. And he turns around. He doesn't know me. You know, he's never seen me before. But I shook his hand and I said, "What's up?" You know, I know Will a little bit and whatever. So then the next time I saw him was a New Japan San Jose show. There were maybe 10 of us at the New Japan press conference the Friday before that show. We were all in downtown San Jose. It was me, my buddy Baby Huey, who works local radio out here, and he has the In the Click podcast. And Reg was there, and I was like, hey, what's up, Reg? And it was like, we were like the three, or there was maybe a handful of other wrestling media, but there was actually some newspaper people there too. But so just randomly, I've run into Reg. I think he and Phil do good work. I'm glad that the Grab City podcast is still ongoing because it is necessary. So whatever the story is there, it's, you know, we'll hopefully we don't even have to know. I'm hoping we don't have to know that if that story is correct or not, because I'm just hoping that CM Punk is going to be in Chicago for Collision, yeah, because that is best for wrestling business right now.
You know, you know who I blame for all of this, right? This whole CM Punk debacle. It's MJF. This man called this guy PG Punk so many times and made him go bonkers. He just sees red. He's scorched earth. He's just setting everything on fire now. So it's all his fault.
You know, here's a question, though. And this is something that I've been thinking about, but we haven't been able to talk about it because of the story that happened last week, which is, you know, CM Punk is coming off of a triceps tear, correct? Is that like, yeah, that's a really hard injury. You remember, you know, I think Dave Batista had one. I forget, there's a few of them in WWE at the time. But there's also this thing of, can he continue to wrestle this really hard style, this very active style that he came back and had these great matches with? Because, you know, let's save CM. We want CM Punk to wrestle for, you know, a little while here. So I'm also wondering a little bit about the injury and just hoping that, you know, he is healthy for one, and that he can come back and be the same guy who we saw the last couple years, or the last year and a half, or whatever it was. Because, you know, that he was wrestling a very physical style, right? He was keeping up with these younger guys, similar to how Jericho is doing it, you know, keeping up with these younger guys because he wants to, you know, have really, really good matches. That's something that he really cares about. So that's the other thing that I think it's kind of under the radar because of all the gossip and stuff. But, you know, hope that he's healthy and ready to go, because I think he can do some really good stuff in this next run.
Listen, he's needed. I know there's a lot of people that are saying, no, they don't need him, they don't need him. But here's the reality, guys. You want growth. You want this company to grow, right? This is the moment. Think about all the stuff that they have planned for over the summer. They got the video game coming out on the 27th. They have Forbidden Door. They have All In. They have All Out. They have CM Punk. They have Collision. And whatever else they're going to do. This is planned. It's not a happenstance. This is all stuff that they have calculated for growth and for new eyeballs and for a big summer.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I want to see? Dude, you know what this is leading to? Tony needs to be off of TV. Nobody has to see Tony for like the next 8 months, okay? Punk is in a main event somewhere, and here comes Tony in a tank top, and he's waving his arms like this, and he's jacked to the gills.
So you're saying he needs to be gone for...
And now you just set up the perfect match.
He needs to be gone for 8 months to do mountains of steroids to come back.
Just give me 6 weeks, brother. Just give me 6 weeks. give Tony 6 weeks. Watch what happens. The guy's like 240. He'll be jacked up.
Remember when he was doing those impact hits and he was wearing the short sleeves? Like, you could tell he was working out a little bit. Yeah.
Tony? I didn't see that.
When he was doing
like
he was the sleeves were a little short and a little tight, you know, like how you can do. So he was doing a little bit.
First time I saw Vince come out jacked, I passed out like an old timey Victorian lady. Whoa! I couldn't believe it.
We have 25 minutes here, and there's two pay-per-views this weekend. But before we get to the pay-per-views, we're not going to fully preview them. But we'll kind of talk about some of that stuff. But I wanted to ask you, because this is kind of right up the alley of the show, is Nick Khan. We have a report by Josh Nason on the front page at 4wonline.com. Nick Khan had some statements, and I'm going to give you a few of these statements because I think some of this is just him, you know, creating information so people will write about it. But also, there were some actual ideas in what he was saying, and some of the things that we've actually talked about on this show. So he is not tied down to Raw or SmackDown being on the nights that they currently are, which I think is smart for business, because not every possible partner may have Monday and Friday open. So to be open to nights being changed is very smart. He mentioned SmackDown could possibly go to 3 hours. Dear God, I would hope to not see that. He mentioned the 10 p.m. Raw hour could possibly be a little bit more adult oriented, a little bit more attitude.
Did he say this again, or is this the old report originally?
That's a good question. I was it's on the website. I thought it was new information. I'll look to double check, but I want to get through a couple of other things. NXT as its own third brand, you could have an intermingling with Raw and SmackDown and maybe not only be tied to developmental. We've seen them try to do stuff like that before. You mentioned ECW. An additional show on another night of the week. This is the NFL, sort of the NFL playbook, which is, you know, could you have football every single night of the week during football season? Could WWE have a show four nights a week instead of just three nights a week? Very interesting. And then the last one was, you know, this is something that you've talked about already, that all these pay-per-view, these PLE events, you know, he's looking for subsidy fees, baby. He's looking for people to pay him to come and run these shows. So did anything stand out about that as possible or doable? Or is he just creating conversation here?
So a couple takeaways. One, the more adult third hour is something I have heard. And the first time I heard this was after the TV-14 debacle of 2022. That was part of a conversation I had with somebody over there. The interesting part of this is that I think a lot of what Nick is saying is that I'm not saying that he doesn't know what he's doing, right? But he's throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, against the wall with this. We are open to doing anything and everything. We're not grandfathered into Mondays and Fridays and our traditional how we do things. I think that that's the change in the Nick Khan era of WWE. You know, pay-per-views on a Saturday. That was not something WWE did ever. It wasn't part of the last 20-year history of this company. But the other thing that I heard was that there is a possibility, there is an option for this, you know, as far as negotiation goes. They're open to doing the third hour on NBC. Now, I don't know logistically how that would work with TV programming, but that is something that I heard a couple of weeks ago, that was a discussion that maybe that's an option, right? You're negotiating. A lot of these conversations are going to go all over the place. We can move it to Tuesday. We can move it to another day. We don't need to be on US Day. Maybe we'll move it to the network, you know, 8 to 10 or whatever, but 8 to 11, 8 to 10, whatever you want to do.
See, but for me now, USA would not be happy about this because Raw carries
USA
their
is
ratings.
Dead.
And they may be not, yeah, they may not exist without Raw, but like to me, the play is, I don't know what's on NBC from 8 to 10 on Monday night, but the play is let's run Raw from 8 to 10 on NBC and we'll run 10 to 11 on USA. Or maybe you run Raw 8 to 9 on USA. I mean, I'm sorry, on NBC. And then you run 2 hours of Raw on USA. Like that seems like that would be really interesting. So the where Nick made these comments was, at the J.P. Morgan Global Technology Media and Communications Conference. So this is all very recent information. I guess today, I guess maybe earlier today he may have made these comments.
So here's another part, right? And we're noticing this trend with television. You know, the upfronts are interesting because you kind of could see where traditional media, linear media is going. This is, it's not comparable, but it kind of is, right? Adult Swim, which is a Warner property, it comes on at, what is it, like 10 o'clock on Cartoon Network. They're moving it to now 6 o'clock. They're, you know, shared space. They're moving it to 6 o'clock because kids are not watching traditional television. They are not watching cable television. It's gotten a lot older. And you need to attract an older audience, and they're pushing Adult Swim to 6 o'clock, which, you know, you're talking about Family Guy and you're talking about American Dad and you're talking about, you know, everything else that they air on there. Not very PG, especially for 6 p.m. So, you know, Nick is a smart guy. He understands how this is going. Maybe you do TV-14 on your 10 p.m. time slot to reinvigorate that older audience that's going to be interested and see, you know, what they're going to do. I don't believe they're going to be bleeding all over the place, but, you know, maybe a couple curse words will split, you know, slip out, and maybe they'll be a little bit more aggressive with their promos, and you'll prevent the dreaded 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. fall from your viewership. You know, these are the great quote, by the way, One Fall Wrestling. This isn't comparable, but it is. Yes, you got it right. He got my quote absolutely right. I think this all plays a part, and I think people are realizing that, you know, Do you need to be PG, totally PG from 8 to 11? No, you really don't need to. You could do something a little different here. And, you know, Raw Underground was supposed to be a company, little adult, wasn't it?
But this is a company that still puts, when there's blood on the show, they still turn it black and white when it's on TV.
It's also a company that, you know, had Brock Lesnar go and bash his head on a turnbuckle so he could bleed legitimately because they were in Puerto Rico. You know, I don't find any consistency. It's professional wrestling. I don't follow consistency with these people. It's all over the place. Whatever's going to get the biggest pop, you know, that's really what it comes down to. I think the bigger reality is the 10 to 11 p.m. time slot becoming more adult than going to NBC from 10 to 11. It's all up for grabs, which is fascinating to me. But please don't add a third hour to SmackDown.
Please. No. I was like, man, do we need NXT? And here he's talking about, we can do more with NXT.
Maybe they do like a NYPD Blues type situation where you get a lot of butt shots. Remember that? What a big deal that was. Yes. We got to see a bare butt on network television. It was all hell broke loose on TV. Yes. Society crumbled, guys. It was over. Maybe they're going to do that. They did that bizarre shower scene with FTR, you know, shaving each other's backs. Maybe a little butt showing. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
I mean, all you got to do is watch Jim Crockett promotion. You see a lot of butt shots from Ric Flair. That dude was always
pulling down the tights. Trousers
down. Yeah.
Love that spot.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's happening this weekend. And you know, I don't want to make this it's hard to not compare two pay-per-views that are happening one day after another. But I was kind of looking at this, going like, you know,
three.
Actually, what are you counting NXT?
I'm counting NXT. Let's give them a little.
So I'm looking at this show and I'm going,
you feel the same way towards it as I do.
I hate that show. I don't like it at all. All right. So I'm looking at let's say the two biggest matches on each show. For Night of Champions, it's Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar, and then it's Kevin and Sammy versus the Bloodline. And if you add a third, it's definitely Seth Rollins and AJ. They really built that match up on Monday. For Double or Nothing, it's MJF versus Sammy Guevara versus Jungle Boy versus Darby Allin. Not necessarily the four pillars to me, more like the one pillar and three dudes. And then the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite in the Anarchy in the Arena. And if you have a third match, it's probably Jericho and Adam Cole. And I looked at that and I was like, you know, I'm very excited to be going to Double or Nothing Live. And the overall, the card is really solid. I don't know if it's their best. It's not their best one. They've had much better cards on paper. And the show's going to be good. Like, you know, there's almost, there's been very few AEW shows. We've had this conversation. AEW pay-per-views that have not felt like it was a good show. But I'm looking at the Night of Champions and I'm like, man, those top three matches, I'm just interested more in those top three matches than I am in the Double or Nothing top three matches. And I wonder if you are feeling the same, because I don't want to come off as an AEW hater here. I'm just looking at those Night of Champions matches and I feel like WWE has done a great job of creating intrigue with those matches.
Yeah, I will say I very much like this card. I know we haven't given it a lot of attention because of, you know, obviously the big story was Punk, but I mean, you got Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, which is, how could it not be good, right? Two of the best. AJ is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes, another tremendous match. You got that tag match that people are very interested in, and that's it. You know, do you need more?
Yeah.
And I mean, Becky Trish, Becky Trish is kind of lost in this.
And that's what I was saying, in that if you look at the whole card altogether, like the undercard of the AEW show is much better. There will be good matches on the Night of Champions. Like Bianca Belair and Asuka is going to be a really good match. Rhea Ripley and Natalya is probably going to be a little bit more of a squash. Becky Lynch and Trish, I don't know if it'll be a good match, but I think they will attempt to have a good match. And all that stuff is fine, but it's so overshadowed by the top stuff that it almost seems unimportant, whereas the AEW card just seems more well-rounded.
Yeah, I just... That AEW card looks is very much well-rounded, but that main event, it's not doing it for me.
You're talking about the one pillar and three dudes match?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like what do you think was the goal of that match? Was the goal to raise those other three guys from the bottom up, or was the goal to show that Max is so far above the other three pillars that he is the true superstar? Because the second thing that I mentioned is what actually happened, but I don't think you book it that way originally, right?
Yeah, I would say the intent, and I'm not going to go into, you know, this is just my opinion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not a booking genius here, you know. So I'm just giving what I would prefer to see. You guys may like it. You guys may not.
I would have liked to see Tony Khan on steroids.
Man, would I love to see jacked up Tony Khan show up and he's all wacky and crazy, man. Do like a berserker gimmick, you know? Do one of these. Just want him deranged. I did also book that Jungle Boy eventually evolves from the jungles and he leaves the jungle and becomes Forest Boy, then he becomes Park Boy, then becomes Suburban Boy, and eventually becomes City Boy. He's dressed in City slacks Boy. And City Boy Jack Perry. I'm into this. That's the one that teams up with MJF.
Isn't that the storyline of Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother? Isn't that kind of his evolution?
Yeah, he was a hippie and then he turned into this, you know, shark. Love it. Yeah, that's what I want to do with him. That's exactly, I want to do the Barney Stinson gimmick with him. I think the problem with this was this match should have always happened. All those guys are fantastic. They're all young. They're all, you know, they are pillars in the company. As far as they go, you know, as far as the company's stance on them is. I would say that I think because you didn't build the other guys in their programs consistently to become a world champion, and they just stood out there and they're like, well, I am a pillar, so I'm entitled to this. It didn't look right. And, you know, Max is so far ahead when it comes to his promo abilities and his presence. When you watch Max, you know, on TV and he's cutting the promos, there's so much, you know, influence from Flair and from, you know, just all around. You could see the influence where the other guys, you know, they are trying to build up to that. And he did come across way more polished than the other guys. That's not knocking. You know, they could do something tremendous. You know, Jungle Boy could turn and side with Max and now he's a heel and, you know, that emotionally it'll drive you. The match is going to be great. The emotion with the match, they could do something creative, but I think the build up to it was lacking.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, at first I was like, man, this is a weird way to build up these guys. And then it just kept getting worse from there. And I still don't think anything that they've done so far, especially the way that Jungle Boy got mauled by Roosh on Wednesday, helped anybody. Yeah. But so now let's talk a little bit about Anarchy in the Arena. Hangman Page came back on Wednesday and I was very happy to see him. I'm so pro Hangman Page as a wrestler. I think the character is unique. I think the promos need to be a little bit more fiery babyface rather than kind of depressive sometimes, but great. He's so good in the ring. I'm excited for that match. But you know, the Las Vegas gate for this show doesn't look great right now. And that kind of tells me not just that, you know, AEW may not be as hot. I mean, I think that's a fact. They're not as hot, but they also didn't have the main event that people were just willing to buy tickets for. And so that falls on Anarchy in the Arena, but it also falls in the main event, right? With the title. So that program, I think if you just look at the monetary figures, the economics of what's going on so far, it's probably the fault of that championship match as the reason. But again, like I said, the breadth of that card is still going to be really solid. So I think everybody who's in that building is going to have a really good time. And it'll do the normal pay-per-view numbers that it does too. Like, they have a really loyal audience. It's just not the destination show that maybe we thought it would have been to get that Las Vegas crowd there live.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the main event is what sells the fights, you know, big ticket fights. Nobody's talking about the undercard on Holyfield Tyson, you know? Nobody ever discussed that.
No, not at all.
So
I just paid $50 or $59 last weekend to see Devin Haney fight Vasily Lomachenko. I didn't even bother looking at the undercard. I was just like, wake me up when the main event starts. I paid to see this fight. Like, that's what it's all about.
Listen, will it be a really good pay-per-view? Yeah. Hell yeah, it is. It's always good. AEW puts on pay-per-view level TV. So, you know, whether or not it you know, 7,000, they're a little above 7,000 tickets now. I'm sure they'll have more people in the building when the show happens. But
that's two pay-per-views in a row, though, right? With the San Francisco show, where, you know, they did not sell out. And it's, if they get, I don't know what San Francisco was, if it was 12 or whatever, but I don't think they're getting there to that level either.
Yeah, listen, I have my opinion on this. I think it's too many trios. I think too many people are on TV. I think too many people are not the focus and they get lost in there. Where the
hell is Danielson? Should help,
Collision should help that, obviously, right? And Danielson is a great example. I want to see this guy in tremendous singles matches. Whether or not he can or can't do, I understand that. But, you know, you have so many people in trios and in stables where, and you're trying to get them TV time. And it just gets muddied. Like, I'm tired of the Elite. I want to see Kenny Omega and I want to see the Bucks. Yeah. I want to see them separate. I want them to do what they did for 3 years or 2 years. You know, every now and then they come together, they do the thing. Now this makes sense bringing in Hangman in the storyline. But, you know, I want to see Kenny wrestle in singles. I'm not saying put on a 5-star match every single week, but like, I tune in for him to watch him wrestle.
That's my hope, that he gets set up.
People are going to say that I'm not liking the Elite and I'm hating on AEW. I'm not. I like what I like, and too many trios is not what I like.
100%. I'm so with you on this discussion. And I also want to see the Cleaner as your top babyface, and he's who I hope that they move into next with MJF is Omega, because I just think Omega is such a unique babyface when he is his character is not as goofy. Like, he can still be a little goofy, but when he's a little bit more serious and he's an ass kicker, that's my favorite Kenny Omega. But do they have to stick around together? Because we know that Blood and Guts is coming up, unless it's not going to be the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club. So maybe they do have to stick around a little bit longer as the trios or the four way.
Say that again. You broke up. I couldn't hear you.
Blood and
I
Guts.
Heard trios. I heard trios and a four way, and I couldn't.
Well, it was garbled. So blood and guts. We know that this is usually a TV main event. If it's going to be the Elite and Blackpool Combat Club again in that match, then maybe they do have to stick together. But if they have a different idea for Blood and Guts, then you can split them.
I think you should do something like Blood and Guts should happen in Boston, if you ask me. You know, that like, that's a big show coming up. That's an attraction.
What date is that show?
I'll tell you right now. TD Garden. Because
they're running the big building, right?
Yeah, it's a big building. Yeah. By the way, there's only one garden, okay? Enough with this TD Garden, Boston Garden. There's only one garden. July 19th.
Okay, so that's 2 months away. 2 months. So,
yeah.
So anyway, I'm with you. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. What's gonna happen with this Roman Reigns and Solo against Sammy and KO thing? Is Roman gonna eat a pin here?
Well, it depends on what your angle is, right? Do you do him and Solo winning and feuding with the Usos to show, hey, listen, look, we're better than you guys. And now you have this great SummerSlam pay-per-view, you know, could be a main event. Or do you have the Usos cost them the title win? Is that a possibility? I love it when I could, you know, either way, I'm into it.
Yep.
Either way, it creates a fun avenue to watch. I would not have broken them up yet, but they have metrics that I don't. When they look at these things and evaluate, is it time, is it not time? They've told a great story, but Roman eating the pin from who? Sammy? That's fantastic. Does Sammy go and challenge him for the title after that?
I think so.
That's a big match.
Okay. So I asked this to my podcast partner, Fight Game Podcast, John LaRocca. He doesn't watch Raw and SmackDown every week. You know, he kind of watches the stuff on YouTube if he needs to catch up with the Bloodline. So I said, you know, what would you do here? Would Roman possibly lose? And he's like, wait a second here. We've had Roman win all of these matches to set him up to get pinned in a tag team match. Like, is that where we're going here? So he was not impressed with that part of it, but it does make sense in some ways. But he believes that Roman being unpinned is a much bigger storyline than in him just losing in a tag match. He wants to see Cody beat Roman, and that's the first time someone beats Roman because it just means so much more. So, well, like you said, I'm just intrigued about where this thing is going. I think it's going to be great. I think the just Roman in stuff is generally entertaining because you're just kind of wondering, when is this going to happen? But last thing, we also have this other match, Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. They did a story.
Does Brock win?
Okay, so they did this story last night where Brock attacks Cody before the show, and it kicks off the show. Like, this is the first part of the show. Smash cut to Corey Graves, who's like, oh no, Brock beat up Cody. I was like, dude, like, this is a giant angle. And then your heart rate is like at like 65 right now. You got to be a little bit more jacked for that. So this whole show long story, Cody comes out, his arm's messed up. Brock slams it. And then he goes into the ring. It all iced up. And you can tell it's just like a target for Brock. And so what does Brock do? Puts him in a Kimura. And now Cody's arm is so jacked that Triple H has to come in at the end of the show and just be like, it's okay. You don't have to prove how tough you are. And so it was a little melodramatic for me. But
yeah,
what does that mean for this match? Now I'm like, what's going on here? At first I thought Cody was going to win. Now this leads me to think maybe Brock is going to win because Cody passes out from the pain or the referee stops it or something, and then you go to the next match. I don't know. Like, I'm so intrigued.
Raw did a 1.63, by the way, with a 0.54, but they were up against a huge, you know, basketball.
Yeah, Lakers game. Got eliminated last night.
Yeah. They got swept.
Yeah. Poor Braun.
You know, I'm not a big LeBron fan. I'm not a LeBron fan.
I'm a big LeBron fan, except then my team had to play him four times, and so then I just had to root against him for forever. But yeah, I'm an MJ guy too. But I like LeBron. I don't dislike him in any way. Yeah, so we got like 30 seconds left. Give me your Cody Brock thoughts.
I mean, unless you're going through, you're doing a you know, three matches here. If you do a third match, then Brock should win. And you created a good excuse for Cody to lose. You know, Cody just gets, you know, mauled for 5 to 7 minutes, and then he takes the pin, and then they tell the story that he was hurt.
Brandy throws in towel. Is that what you're saying?
Brandy throws in the towel. Regal comes out, throws in the towel. I don't know. I mean, they could do something. They could do something here. You know, the question is, are you going to put that title on Cody at SummerSlam? Is he going to challenge for that title? Who's challenging for that title? I'd love to see Styles win that title. That's a nice little
If you think he has a chance at winning, you better go put money on this dude right now.
I don't think he has a chance. I would like to see him win it. I think WWE's doing some good stuff right now.
It'd be a great weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend for professional wrestling. It's going to be a great weekend for us as fans. You know, I got a 1 p.m. pay-per-view to watch.
Yep. Yeah, those
Holy
are your favorites.
Moly, I'm going to be, those are my Memorial Day week. I'm going to be grilling in my yard. I'm going to be making pizza, actually. I make, this is what I do now. I make pizza in my backyard. I'm going to be grilling. I'm going to be hanging out. I'm going to push my TV outside and I'm going to tan and watch wrestling at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, it's great. I love it. It's fantastic. So for me, it's anyone, a win-win this whole weekend.
I've never seen anyone grill in a Speedo.
I do grill in a Speedo, dude.
All right. Before Lance Storm gets mad at us, F4WOnline.com/Vegas. Come hang out with us in Las Vegas this weekend. If you are there, come say hi. I would love to meet more people. Last year was fun, so can't wait to meet more folks. We're going to get out of here. We've overstayed our welcome by a minute and a half.
Do me a favor. When you're there, okay? When you're there,
yeah.
I want you to grab your shears and you see Tony Leader and he just go, just cut him right off that beard.
I don't know.
Say that's from Zarian.
That might take away all of his power if I do that. All right. For Andrew, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.